I haven't heard, but the funeral for Don Becker Sr. was today, and they were supposed to have a little ice storm up there outside of Des Moines. So be in prayer for Emily Powell, Katie Powell's 17-year-old daughter, who had the automobile head-on collision. Somebody hit her head-on. And just continue to be in prayer for each other. Estelle, people, please be in prayer for Estelle. I just came by there on the way here, and I did not realize the level of her decline. Her arms were, anywhere on her arm was, I think, the broadest area couldn't have been over 2 or 3 inches. I was just amazed, and I did not realize that. So, need to be in prayer for Estelle. And also Tisha's sister, Alda, their cancer has come back, and it's serious, and she needs our prayers, her family needs our prayers. Lonnie is her husband, and so let's be in prayer for whatever God is doing in regard to Alda's body and family, and so just be in prayer in that respect. My cousin has cancer, Conrad Kendall, K-I-N-D-L-A, Kendall, and just be in prayer for Conrad and his family, whatever God is doing with him. And so it's just an ongoing new way of the testing and all. I was listening to some doctors and were saying by the middle half of this century, heart disease and things will be obsolete, and I believe it. Pretty much cancer will be conquered, and then they kind of smash it, but then there'll be something else. And just something else will come along. It never reached the point where they have mastered it all, but it's kind of like polio, tuberculosis. We just keep, you know, the things come along, and we keep working on it, except for the common cold. They can't do anything about that. But the severe things, they seem to be able to. So, yes, be in prayer for Alta. Be in prayer for Wes Tuttle and his family, please. And be in prayer for the Becker family tonight. And, okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. We're in an interesting part of our study, dealing with seeing and understanding who we are in Christ. That is how we live. Instead of living under the stress, anxiety, and depression, the sad concept that we've been studying, we're looking at what it means to live under who and what you are in Christ, because we started off with that when we first started this. So let's begin with a word of prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes and ears to the things that He would have us to see. Let's pray. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father, that you care so much about each individual believer in Jesus Christ. You care that Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression, and you have provided what is necessary to remove those things from our life. The stress, anxiety, and depression without changing the circumstances. That's the miracle. So, Father, I pray that as we go through these things, that these tapes will get into the hands of those who are in need of understanding and will believe it. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are in the downward side of this, and we've come tonight we'll begin the 27th, but the 24th, when these all are closely related, but I separate them because they have different calls and beckonings and challenges and assurances and hopes for you. We studied 24 was your heavenly citizenship, 25 that you're in the household of God. And then the 26th one that we finished up last week, heavenly association or identification. By that I mean the realm of reality of your existence. your association, you identify yourself not in the material world, not in things on this earth, but in the spiritual, in the heavenly realm. We looked at such passages as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 30, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, in other words, undeserved love, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We looked at Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, and dear people, there's the secret. Stress, anxiety, and depression over things of your circumstances on this earth, be it financial, marital, health, just your hopes about your life, nothing's working out. You live your life in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. And so we just spent our time in a number of passages and noting a lot of things. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:4, we just spent a lot of time. But now, let's look at our 27th point of living who you are in Christ. People, every one of these are grounds for you to give thanksgiving for. Every one of these are grounds for you to stop being depressed, stop living under distress, and live who you are in Christ, regardless of the circumstances that you're in. So let's take a look at this one. It's time to start setting aside all that happened to you and all your current circumstances, no matter how horrible or disappointing they may be, and bringing on SAD into you. What is the direction you should start taking? Okay, now get ready on this one, because you're not going to believe this, but when you do, it's going to make an unbelievable, unbelievable difference. And here it is. You are the light of the world. That's right. Now, I know you don't feel it. You probably think you're in the darkness of the world. How can you say I'm the light of the world when I'm sitting in darkness? How can you say I'm the light of the world when my soul is heavy in darkness? My circumstances in my marriage and divorce and the child and the finances and the just so many things going wrong, and I'm alone, or I'm with people that don't love. I'm miserable in darkness. And here you come along and you say, I'm the light of the world. Well, what I want you to realize is, please, in faith, in the power of the Spirit, realize that you are the light of the world, and start living that way. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 with me tonight, or we're listening to this on the internet or on tapes, CDs. We got so many different ways now in which we're getting these out. And so let's take a look at Ephesians 5:8. We're now working. We've been working on it. In fact, I've seen one prototype, but to talk with James, and we're getting where we're going to start putting like the whole book of Galatians on one CD that will be playable, and put a whole series, long series, this whole series on one CD. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited what James is looking into it. You'll be in prayer with him as he goes through these things. All right, Ephesians 5:8. For you were formerly darkness. Now, that's talking about when you were an unbeliever. You were formerly darkness. Even though many of you may feel like you're still in darkness. But I hope by now you're coming out of that darkness. I hope by now in this study you're coming out of it with our mindset, AM, FM, Satan's lies, tearing down the fortresses, all the things that we've done. Hope you're starting to come out of the darkness. No, not out of your circumstances, but out of the darkness and into the light. And that is what you are in this world. So you want to start getting this into your mind by faith. Stop listening to people who tell you differently. People, please stop listening to them. I just think Christians could do so much better in spiritual recovery, restoration, and spiritual growth if they just stay away from so many other Christians who do nothing but down them and criticize and do these things. I'm just amazed at the way Christians are with Christians. And then again, I'm not, because that's spiritual warfare. Stop listening to them. Stop allowing certain people who really do not care about you keep you down. They like to keep you in the darkness. It exalts them, makes them feel great. Start listening to God. Pay attention to God, not to those people who do not care about you. All right, for you were formerly darkness. But look what it says. But now you are light in the Lord. So if you feel like you're in darkness while you're listening, just know that in the Lord you're light. So what you want to do is walk who and what you are. Walk as children of light. You are light in the war in the Lord. That's who and what you are in truth. You got to listen to what Satan says you are, or are you going to listen to what God says you are? And what does God say you are? You are light in the Lord. Not by your performance, not because you earn or deserve it. It's what you are in Jesus Christ. You're light in the Lord. And since you're light, walk as children of light. Please listen. Stop walking in SAD. Stop walking in the midst of your circumstances. Walk like who you are in Christ, children of light. I know your circumstances. And people, we're not going to, God, often, I'm going to use the word often, I'm not going to say never, but rarely, God's not going to change your circumstances. The greater miracle is to cause you to walk like light while you're in the midst of the most horrible of circumstances. I love the old black and white movies of Errol Flynn. He used to play these roles where he would be among all the poor people in France, and he was always happy. And that was his role, and he was happy, and he just was going along, and I thought, wow. I know it's a movie made by Hollywood, but that's the way Christians ought to be, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's difficult. Don't get me wrong. I know it's difficult. I've talked to people who call, write, email, that are listening to the SAD series, and share with me different things. I know it's tough. And I know that I'm getting ready to close this up, and we could spend a couple more years on it. Because we're always seeing things that encourage us. But we're going to draw this to a close pretty quickly and move into the study of Job. But tonight, look with me at Lamentations. Lamentations? I didn't even know that was a book of the Bible. Yeah, there's a book in the Bible. It's called Lamentations. And I'd like you to find Lamentations. And let's turn to it. And let's take a look. If you can find the big book of Jeremiah, then Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. To lament. That's where the title of the book comes from. To lament. It's a lamenting book. Lamentations. Please look with me at Lamentations chapter 3. Powerful chapter. Chapter 3. Let's begin our reading of the Bible. In our study, verse 1, I am the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He hath driven me and made me walk in darkness, not in light. Now, people, there's so much going on here, and I'm not here to study Lamentations 3. I'm here to read it to help you. But what we're seeing here is also a picture of Jesus Christ as well as the lamenting here, as well as ourself. What does Christ say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. People, sometimes your life is so low, and I know it is. I know it biblically and experientially. You feel so set aside. But sometimes this can be the grandest hour in your life. Because remember, it's in the darkest hour that His light is seen the brightest. So let's take a look. I am the man who has been seen affliction because of the rod of His wrath. He has driven me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Is that the way you feel? Surely against me He has turned His hand. You feel like that sometimes, those of you that are experiencing stress, anxiety, depression? Surely against me, verse 3, He has turned His hand repeatedly all the day. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. Didn't know anybody else had experienced what you're experiencing, huh? Well, here's a written that does. Verse 6. In dark places He has made me dwell, like those who have long been dead. He has walked me in so that I cannot go out. He has walled me that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. Chain on Him as a slave being in captivity, and the chain is heavy. Even when I cry out and call for help, He shuts out my prayer. Sometimes those of you that are listening and you pray in the middle of the night crying and you wonder, does He even hear? This is the way you feel. He shuts out your prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewed stone, cut stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. Sound like what some of you may be going through. He has made me desolate. He bent His bow and set me as a target for the arrow. He made the arrows of His quiver to enter into my inward parts. This man really hurts, just like some of you. I have become a laughingstock to all my people. That hurts people. When you're a laughingstock to other people, not only you're not getting respect or anything, you're the laughingstock. They're mocking song all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunk with wormwood. And He has broken my teeth with gravel. In other words, to eat, eats gravel and breaks His teeth. He has made me cower in the dust. And my soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished. And so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Now watch this. Therefore I have hope. Now in the midst of all that He has just said, describing Himself and what you've gone through, look what He says. Therefore I have hope. Now look at verse 22. The Lord's love indeed never cease. How in the world can He say that after all the things we just read? There's just no way He can go through all those things that He's just said and says, the love of God never ceases. People, this is what I'm trying to help you with in walking by faith. He may not change the circumstances of your life, but He'll change your soul if you let Him. The Lord's love, indeed, never ceases. For His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. people note who's singing this and who's saying this. This is not somebody living up in a mansion. This is not somebody who has a lot of money and a lot of prosperity. Oh, the faithfulness of God is great. Isn't God great? This is somebody down where you are in the dumps, and he's learning. It's just trusting him, not the circumstances of life. Great is thy faithfulness. Look what he says, verse 24. The Lord is my portion. See, it's not all these circumstances. It's not all the people that are criticizing and laughing at him and judging him. It's not the horrible hurts of his soul, the torments of his soul. The Lord is his portion. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Boy, how long does this guy have to wait? To the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the deliverance of the Lord. That's what I'm just trying to encourage you as we close out this study. He may not change the circumstances, but you just go to him because he's your hope and find the same confidence that this man finds. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of his youth. Let him sit down and be silent since he has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. Perhaps there is hope. Let him give his cheek to the smiter, the person that hits him. Let him be filled with reproach. For the Lord will not reject forever. For if he causes grief, then he will have compassion according to his abundant love. Okay, that's as far as I want to read there. Give you an idea of what this is like now. Please turn with me to Psalm 56. I love David. David experienced so much. David was a womanizer. David was a murderer. David disobeyed and took senses. David did all those kinds of things, but David always came back to the Lord. David never went into idolatry. He always came back to the Lord. He tormented in his soul, but God said he's a man after his own heart. Now look with me, if you will, at Psalm 56. Let's just read a little bit in Psalm 56. Be gracious, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Okay, here's that man thing, that interaction with others. Yeah, to give you an idea here, remember Satan's lie. My self-worth is my performance plus what? The opinion of others, certain others. And what is their opinion of him? They trample on him, ridicule him, laugh at him. Be gracious, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long. Note the emphasis on all day long, all day long, all day long. For they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. So what does the fear do to him? It drives him to trust the Lord. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. Put your faith in him, you shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? People of God is there. Man can't do any more than what God is going to allow. All day long they distort my words. Wow. And their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack. They lurk. They watch my steps. In other words, they're going to lay traps. They've got traps out there. As they have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness, cast them forth. In anger put down the peoples, O God. Thou hast taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Thy vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. This is where we want to do, is be in that light. How wonderful your soul, your life will be when you start walking in that light by faith in the power of the Spirit. The light of this life in your soul, it lifens up your soul, this light. And it puts light in every cell, every part of your body, every part of your soul. So no matter what's going on in your life, in your marriage, your health, your circumstances, you can have the life of His light running through you if you want that. Please look at Psalm 89. Please look at Psalm 89 for a moment. Psalm 89, verse 15. Psalm 89, 15. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of thy countenance. People, you're in the light of the world if you're in Christ. Live who and what you are in Christ. Verse 16. In the name they rejoice, in thy name they rejoice all the day. And by thy righteousness they are exalted. Not by their righteousness, but by your righteousness they are exalted. For thou art the glory in of their strength. Not in themselves, but in you. And by thy grace our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Now, I want to look at one other passage. Excuse me just a minute. Excuse me. I want to look at one other passage. Believers who have set themselves up want to walk by their own light and not by the light of the Lord. See, what we're dealing with is, remember, you are in Christ, you are the light of the world. Okay, you can walk in your light, or you can walk in the light of the Lord. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people are so proud of themselves and what they do, their performance, how moral, how righteous, how pure, how holy, how much they know, how much they serve, how much they emotion, they have the second blessings, all these kinds of things. Look at Isaiah 50, one of the most powerful verses to always bear in mind in the Bible in this kind of subject. Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50, it's one of those kind of verses you want to mark and always have where you can get to it quickly. Isaiah 50, we're going to look at two verses, the last two verses of chapter 50. Verse 10, who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant? Now, we're going to find out what the voice or the obedience is. And the voice means the message. His servant, that's Jesus Christ, that walks in darkness and has no light of their own. Now, that's what we all are. Let him trust. Okay, there's the obedience that obeys. Here it is. What's the obedience to trust? That let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. So, who among you fears the Lord? In other words, you have such awe of God. Obey His voice, the voice of His servant. Okay, what is the obedience? Trust. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Now look at verse 51, or excuse me, verse 11 in chapter 50. Behold, all you who kindle your own fire. That means you build up your own fire. Who encircle yourselves with firebrands. Walk in the light of your fire. People, this is what most religious people are doing. They're walking in the light of their own fire. Their own performance. Their own obedience to God. Their own obedience to their list. Who walk in the light of your fire. Your own fire. And among the brands you have set ablaze. In other words, look how great I am. This you will have from my hand. you will lie down in torment. Now, let's come jump to it. How do we walk in this light? If you're the light of the Lord, or the light of the world, excuse me, how do you walk in that light? People, you walk in that light by walking by faith in the Spirit, not by your performance. It's not because you do something and then you become this light. No, you put your faith in the Holy Spirit. He puts this light in you and you become experientially the light of the world. A couple other passages. Let's go to the New Testament. Please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. Let's look at various passages and getting some of these things down. Let's look at it. Gospel of John, chapter 8, you are the light of the world. How do you live that way? You live that way by walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Okay, you are the light of the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You want this life? You are a believer. You are in Christ. Follow him. And how do we follow him? Walk by the same faith that he walked by, faith in the Holy Spirit. And when you walk in the Holy Spirit, you will have this light of life in you. It's that simple. It's not based on circumstances of your life. This is something that goes on inside your own soul and your own relationship with God. Please find 1 John. That was the Gospel of John. Now find 1 John. First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that's out of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sorry to say that. That's what happens when you're in your stress and your anxiety and your depression. That's when you know, man, I'm in the darkness. I'm in the heaviness of the darkness. I need to get into the light. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, we claim we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we indeed walk in the light, and how do we do that now? We walk in the light by faith in the Spirit. Power of the Spirit. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now that means one another with God and one another with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All the sins that you and I practice. That's why it's not a matter of confession. It's not a matter of repentance. It's not a matter of promising God. It's not a matter of being set aside. It's a matter of just trusting him. Claim what is yours by faith. All right, now let's go back and find 1 Thessalonians. Let's go back and find 1 Thessalonians. These are powerful things we're looking at. Let's find 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4. But you, brethren, believers, are not in darkness. People, you're not in darkness. I know you think you are, and it looks like you're sitting in darkness, but you're not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. That's the day of his coming. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. I know you don't feel it. That's what I'm trying to do. We're trying to help you, encourage you to get back and get on into living who you are in Christ. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. Don't look at your circumstances and don't listen to others. Listen to what God says. God says you are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. That's the kingdom of Satan. Verse 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do. That's not talking about death. That's talking about not walking in the spirit-filled life. When you are not walking in the spirit-filled life, among many other things, other ways of looking at it, God looks at it as though you're asleep. In other words, it's time. You're not even counting. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. And we claim who and what we are. So people, you are the light of the world. Stop listening to people. Stop looking at your circumstances and look at who you are in Christ. And start claiming who you are in Christ and living it. Let's move on to the next one, because we've got to make some ground. The 28th point that I want to look at in regard to who you are in Christ. This one's powerful. This is getting close to getting back to, again, the practicality. How do you practice this right now? Okay. Who are you and what are you? You are inseparably united with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. You are inseparably united with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In your daily life, how do you think of yourself? If you are SAD, how do you think of yourself? What is it that is missing in your life? How do you see yourself? Okay, this is very important. Because if you see yourself one way and that's not what's happening, then you're going to be stressed and depressed. I want us to get into what should we see ourselves as. Let me use a silly example. If you see yourself looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the days when he was an Olympic champion, and then you go look in the mirror, you're very depressed and very stressed out. My goodness, this is what I see myself wanting to be, and look at the way I am. My goodness, I'll never get there. Okay. What I'm trying to say to you is, what are you using to see yourself upon which you're basing that your stress and depression are your happiness? I want you to see yourself as to who and what you are in Christ. That's reality. To see yourself, you're going to start to work out and you go, okay, you hang up in your house. If you're a guy, you hang up a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger and boy, you got it in there. And that's where you see yourself. And after 3 years, you hadn't even, not even close to it. You get depressed and all that. You're using the wrong standard. And this is what Christians do. And they allow other Christians to say, this is what you ought to look like. Don't do that. Let's see what God says. Let's start off with the Father, your union with the Father. You are in God the Father. Now, you just stay with me because I'm going to do some explaining on this. Because right now, you may not sense these things. What is he even saying, I'm in God the Father? What does that mean, for crying out loud? I'm going to answer that. But turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, and look at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, believers who live in Thessalonica, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Also, 2 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul says exactly the same thing to the church of the Thessalonians, in God. So the believers in God. Now, before we go any further, let's add to that. This one's powerful. You are in God the Father, but we're going to add to that, God the Father is in you. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Please take the time to look at this. This is who you are. You know, if I were writing a book about your body, if I were writing a book about maybe your heart, or you're having trouble, or you want to work out, or you want to get healthy, or how to make money, or how to do this that you're doing, boy, you'd go home and read it. People, I'm dealing with why you are experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression from God's book here. It's about you. This is who you are. Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all, and in all. People, God the Father is in you. To me, this is a difficult concept to comprehend, to understand. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. Sometimes when you, let's see if I can help you, sometimes when you are under stress, anxiety, depression, you're under difficult times, it's so easy to forget just who you are. It's easy to forget that God is in you and that you are in Him. It just doesn't compute. Doesn't compute. Doesn't seem to make any difference. Well, I want us to spend a few minutes here. Let me tell you how this makes a difference. Let me tell you how this makes a difference. If you need to get up and pick up your life, you need something upon which to determine how I should do that, why I should do that. That's what we're looking at. If you're suffering from stress and depression, probably things in your life are not going well now or haven't gone well. Maybe you were molested as a child or neglected. Things aren't going well now as an adult in your life. Divorce, or maybe not even divorce, but you're still in the marriage and it's just horrible. The circumstances and your friends, back to the way David worded it, are maligning you, and it's just always, what do I have to get up for? Why get up? I'm going to get hit. On what basis? You know, if I could move, if I could move from here, and if I could move to Hawaii, and had enough money, then I could get on with my life. If God would make all of this turn out this way, then, see, my basis for getting up and moving on with my life would be the change of circumstances. Well, I want to tell you something. Just settle down then and be miserable. Because more than likely, He's not going to do that. He can't get all of us in Hawaii. It's not big enough. Hawaii is not big enough or enough for all the Christians who experience stress, anxiety, and depression, let me assure you. So if that's going to be it, if that's going to be your basis, the basis of me getting hold of myself is going to be a change in circumstances, then you can forget it. But let me give you something else. You do have a basis for getting up and moving on from stress and depression. Right now you really do, and you can start with that God is in you and that you are in God. No, your husband, your wife, your family, your friends, other people are not going to see it, and they're going to ridicule you. Stay away from them. Close your ears to them. People, God is saying to you, I am in you and you are in me. Do you believe what Satan says or do you believe what God says? Do you believe what your friend says or do you believe what God says? Do you believe what your flesh nature says about you? Yourself. Or are you going to believe what God says? It's up to you. You may not feel like it in the world. You may not feel like it to the world around you. But whether they want to relate to you this way or not, people, you have to do this yourself. You are in God and He is in you. Now you're ready for a powerful verse. 1 John 4. Oh boy, take your time and turn to it. Here's your drug. Here's that tablet you want to take that's going to make it all well. Boy, this is powerful. Let's take a look at it. Verse John 4. 1 John 4, verse 14. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You do? Oh, okay. Then guess what? You're saved. Look what follows. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. Now, you want it any clearer than that? You're a Christian? Then God abides in you. And you abide in Him. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about your sins. I don't care about what your sins were or are. I don't care about the failures of the past. I don't care what happened to you in the past. God is in you and you are in God. This is your state of existence. This is the reality of who and what you are. This is what God says you are. Now, what about your life? How can this have an impact in your life right now? Especially considering all that's going on that has brought on the stress, anxiety, and depression. How can I incorporate this into my life? Whoever confesses or acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in that person, and he, the person that is saved, in God. But I want to relate that to my life experientially right now. Look at verse 16. And this is after salvation now. We have come to know. All right, now how do we know? From Scripture. This is what we're doing. We're studying Scripture and the power of the Spirit. And have believed. There's your real issue. A lot of people know this. They don't believe it. They don't act on it. They don't rest in it. They rest in their circumstances. Rest in the way they feel. Rest in what others say about them. Here's what God says. And have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Now, I'm sorry, many believers never get to this point in their life, and that's a shame. Many believers never get to this point. Knowing the love of God, God loves them, and believing the love God has for them. And the reason a lot of believers don't is because they base the love of God on their performance, and they don't deserve it. A lot of people don't believe it because they think love should act a certain way. If God really loved me, none of these things would be going on. No, that's not true. But if you come to know and believe, like our writer of Lamentations, Jeremiah. Now, let's continue the verse. Verse 16. And we have come to know and have believed the love of God, that which God has for us. The love that God has. God is love. Now watch this. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now people, this verse 16 is not talking about your salvation one, eternal life salvation. That's verse 15. You are in God and God is in you. That's your status quo. Now what this verse is talking about, if you want to live who and what you are, then how do you do that? You do that by abiding in his love. I hope this is clear to you. Please be sure you got what's going on in the passage. Verse 15 is the point of salvation. That's your status quo. That's like having eternal life, imputed righteousness, all of those things. They're yours. God is in you. You are in God, and that'll never change for all eternity. There is no sin or category of sins, angels or man, who can take that away. But I want that to be an experiential reality in my life. Just like I want righteousness to be an experiential reality in my life. How do I do that? Walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul calls the hope of righteousness in Romans 5 and Galatians 5. Now, let's take a look. Here's your life now, right where you are today, when you're listening to this. And that word and there, the Greek particle, after salvation 1, we have come to know. How did we come to know it? From Scripture and the power of the Spirit, a teacher that teaches truth. And that's very important. A lot of people have teachers that are false teachers that don't teach the truth. From Scripture, have believed. That's the real issue. Do you believe it? Not just do you know it, do you believe it? The love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now this is talking about your life. Now the question, really the question I hope you're asking right now, well, how do I abide in that love? And the one who abides, this is your daily life now, this is not your position, your daily life, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Question, How do I abide in His love? And here's the beauty of it all, people. It's so easy to abide in His love. So easy. Isn't it difficult to abide in some people's love? Even your own husband, your own wife. It's just so hard to abide in their love. You work, you perform, and they just seem to shun it. And you just can't abide in it. No matter what you do, it just isn't. You never can do enough. You're always failing their expectations. And it's frustrating to try to abide in the love of some humans. They make it so difficult. They just make it so difficult to abide in their love by their performance or what they require. They won't even tell you sometime, and it's just tough. Let me tell you, here's the beauty of abiding in His love. You abide in His love. Now watch. You abide in His love by the same pattern of abiding in Him, by faith. Faith in the member of the Godhead sent to you to give you this love. See, love, this love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, you're abiding in that love. You're abiding in that light. But here we're dealing with the love. You want to abide in that love. People, it's not something you go out and generate. We in the world of our relationships, so many Christians trying to get somebody to love them. You can't make anyone love you. And you're trying to love somebody. Boy, I want to love them. I'm trying to get somebody to love me. And all of this tormented, tangled up stuff. It's so easy with God. You want to abide in His love? Just walk by faith in His Spirit who is in you. Fruit of the Spirit is love. You have your faith in the Holy Spirit, He pours in the love in you. And you abide in His love by abiding in the Holy Spirit. So people, if you suffer from SAD, here is the reason for getting up and moving on and putting SAD in the shadows of your life and living who you are in Christ. God the Father is in you. You are in God the Father, which means that you can abide in His love. This is powerful stuff. Okay, we'll stop here and resume at this point next Wednesday evening. Please remember those that we've asked to be in prayer. And I want all of you that are listening, that heavy with stress, anxiety, depression, we're in prayer for you. We pray in regard, first of all, you just get the series, and then the Holy Spirit will make these things real and alive to you. And we're here to encourage you to get rid of the stress, anxiety, and depression, and live who you are in Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are. The baffling factor of all of this is not trying to walk by faith. That's the battle. But just understand why you would do this. What manner of love is this? We're so overwhelmed by this love. We're so struck by this love, Heavenly Father, that once we do begin to grasp it, we're compelled. We're compelled to abide in this kind of love. A love that is unconditional. A love that is compassionate. A love that is strengthening. A love that removes the darkness of stress, anxiety, and depression. A love that does not consider our sins, but a love that considers who and what we are in Christ. Wow. Father, I pray You'll take the things we've seen tonight, especially in the soul of those who are tormented. Let Your Spirit make these truths real. Let them experience peace, joy, happiness, and love without changing the circumstances. That the angels might see, because man will never see it, but angels might see the magnitude of Your love, the greatness of Your grace, while they experience the joy of it. Father, we praise You in Christ's name. Amen.